Why did I say see you later?
Yeah, we might have to work on our endings.
Yeah, that's really bad. That's really bad. I might not even include that. I also say death to Gemini. Like, what if my fucking ex hears that? And I'm like, what if he dies like in such unsuspicious circumstances? And they're like looking for evidence. Like, well, it kind of looks like her ex called for his death.
To be fair, there's nothing to stop us doing another ending if you want to do another ending.
I don't, I'll maybe listen to it.
No, but it's like Trump, where he's like Proud Boys, like stand back and stand by. It's like us being like fucking death to Gemini's guys, organize yourselves.
What the fuck? Hi guys, welcome to Two Scottish Birds. This is a kind of a comedy advice podcast run by myself, Felicity, and
Megan. Hello.
We are two Scottish gals in our late 20s to early 30s, just having a gossip and sharing stories of successes and failures of our life so far.
Yeah, majority failures, but we are still going strong. It's fine. Yeah, we'll keep trying.
Today's episode is about breakups.
Everyone loves a breakup.
Yeah, just can't get enough of them. God just keeps just chucking them out at me. It's like, I've had enough. I've learned the lessons, but you know, anyway. So we kind of, we talk about our experiences. And we talk about kind of what's worked for us in kind of getting through those times. And we know that, like, I guess there's lots of people who have gone through breakups during lockdown, and we kind of talk about the difficulties of that. And
we do. And some of our, I guess, kind of stranger or embarrassing moments. But yeah, hope you guys enjoy.
Okay, welcome back.
Hello.
Right. So, breakups.
Yes. Fun.
Yeah. The thing is about breakups, as I was saying, I do think that I'm quite informed on the subject. Like, I've made many mistakes in the breakup process, and I have learned from them, and I'm still not like the perfect example of someone who handles breakups in a healthy way, for sure. I mean, for sure. However, I have learned quite a lot over like how many years I've been dating, and it's been an experience. What are your thoughts, Megan, on this subject?
Well, I want to ask there, with like your kind of well-informed, or like, you know, your experience level, would you say overall you've broken up with people more, or been the one that was broken up with? Like, how many impactful, I'm saying impactful because we've all had breakups with guys that we're not really that fussed about and we all seem to move on just fine, but how many like core shattering ones do you think you've had?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Like, because I have certainly been broken up with more than I have broken up with others. I think that's from chatting to friends and stuff, I do kind of feel that perhaps in like the circle of people that I've talked to, that quite often it's girls getting dumped with more than guys. I don't know if that's just what I've experienced or whatnot. But then in terms of like core shattering ones, even like I've not had my core shattered. That sounds fucking weird. I've not had my core shattered by every person who has broken up with me. That's happened twice, I think.
Okay, so you've had two
times too many. I learned my lesson the first time. God, why do you continue to do this to me?
Okay, so two big breakups, you'd say.
Yeah.
And other, you know, middle of the road type ones.
Yeah. And I did read something saying that, like, the way you react in a breakup is usually not to do with the length of time that you've been with them, or perhaps even if you have kids and stuff, it's about like what that other person meant to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think that you can, depending on where you are in your life, that person can hold a more importance, and that can really sting.
That makes sense, actually. Yeah, it varies like quite a bit if I think back. So that does make more sense as opposed to like basing it on length of time that you were with someone.
Yeah.
No,
Yeah, because
definitely.
yeah, certainly the longest relationship and most serious one I've ever ever been in, I was able to walk away kind of moonwalking.
Yeah,
I was
similar. Like when I had like the person I've been with the longest, I wouldn't have said it was my most serious, but the person with the longest, it honestly was like a switch that just flipped. And we'd been on and off so much, but it was like a 4 year thing. And
fine.
when I was done, I just was like fully done. And I was like, yeah, just don't message me again. And that was me. I was done. Like I've just moved right on. Like 10 days later, I met someone else.
That's perfect.
Yeah,
Same
nothing else
one.
worked that way, but that one did.
So, what about the ones that have shattered your core? What's the kind of like, what different makes them kind of stand out
I
in
guess
circumstance?
my first one was different because it was just like super toxic, and I ended that relationship, but like it was just, I guess it was a lot to get over. So it wasn't actually that I was like totally in love with him and heartbroken about him. It was like there was just a lot in that relationship I had to process, and then I've probably had my heart broken like severely once. And then I guess I really felt the sting of the one like just before lockdown, where we'd only really been seeing each other for like 3 months, but like I was super into it, being the first time in a long time I liked someone. And then I think just because I didn't have any distractions available, I like it stuck with me for a while because like we were fucking stuck in the house, like we were done.
Yeah, this is an interesting thing to note, dear reader, dear listener. I've been watching too much Bridgerton, but like so yeah, Megan and I both went through kind of a breakup of sorts around about this at the same time, weirdly with guys who were born on the exact same day.
Fucking Geminis.
Yeah, I know. I was hoping that actually like I could just in the off chance that somehow that person somehow ended up listening to this podcast, I could get away with not him not knowing it was him, but now obviously he's like a Gemini, it was definitely me then.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
But yeah, I mean that's not a coincidence. I feel like there's something was going on there, and I'm not gonna lie, it's put me off Geminis moving forward. Sorry to anyone who is one, but still.
Yeah, no, same as well. And in terms of the star sign chat on the internet, Geminis get such a beating, like they are notorious for being the most disliked sign in
Nice.
the zodiac. And it's
I wonder why.
do you know, do you want, this is going off piece, but I'm going to answer this question for you. I think it is what it is that like the Gemini is supposed to be very kind of very social but not very deep, and kind of can be a different person with every person that they're with, so basically can come across as being a bit like fake and you can't really trust them. And they're also supposed to, there's technically their symbol is the twins, so also they're supposed to have like a dark side and a light side, but yeah, just like many faces, do you know what I mean? So like it's they're actually they're not like a really they're not like a really super harmful like sign traditionally, but they get so much hate because everyone can't like nobody could seem to like trust them and things.
I mean, that's fair, actually. None of my good friends are Geminis either, and neither is, I don't think, anyone in my family.
Well, you are an Aries, so technically like you're supposed to get on better with them than me
Oh.
if you're the Scorpio, but like yeah, let's just hate on the Geminis, it's fine.
Can tell we're both still getting over things. It's okay.
It's a process, let us go through it. Let us
But
go through it.
so yes, no, I've had, well, I guess like two breakups that, yeah, that took a lot of getting over, and then one that's just been really prolonged because of lockdown. I don't feel like it would take this long in normal circumstances if I could like go and like have sex with randoms or like a wee disco whinge, anything, but that's not happening.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's so hard, and kind of like hats off to anyone that's having to go through it, because it's because it's so hard to move forward in your life in any way to progress. You're constantly going back anyway in your thoughts and stuff. So, but the thing is, neither of us have actually reached out to those people.
No, I'm like hardcore. So like, well, I'm
Yeah,
hardcore.
neither.
Well, now I was not when I was young, but this is actually the lesson I learned. So I like remove all traces of contacts. So basically, like I delete every possible way that I could get in touch with them to like preserve my pride and dignity. Because when I was young, I absolutely would message them. I totally, like, I have an issue letting go, but at least I recognize that. And, like, yeah, I've literally sent everything on the planet, from, like, an email to a letter to a lengthy text. I've done it all.
Yeah, I guess, like, on the subject of lessons learned, like, mine is very similar. I feel like you can look at, I feel like someone who gets dumped and someone who is the dumpy, mm-hmm. I think they're kind of different in, like, in lessons learned and best practice, how to kind of, like, approach that if that kind of happens to you. But, like, in terms of being the person who is dumped, which I have been on the receiving end just way too many times, I'm like, so funny, why does it keep happening? But my main one lesson is that two key things.
Okay, like three and four and five.
Okay, is that there's no point, like, trying to persuade them out of it, mm-hmm. because you're not going to be able to, because there's nothing that you can actually do at this point.
Yeah.
Like, they don't lack logic. Like, they are a human being that, you know, they don't. It's not that they don't understand. You can't try to, like, they don't lack logic. Basically, there's nothing you can actually do, first of all, to try and kind mm-hmm. of, like, accept that. And the second thing is that there is really only one, like the only thing that you can have is, like, your pride. Like, that's the thing that you will actually regret, even, like, 30 years later.
100%.
Well over the person, like, those mm-hmm. moments that make you fucking cringe. And, like,
so true.
And that's why you just, like, you just have to push through and not contact them. And that's the whole thing. Like, they all say no contact. Mm-hmm. That's what they say is the thing you've got to, you know, put into place after you've broken up with someone. And they say, like I've poured myself over all of these, like, how to get your man back, blah, 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 no contact. And to an extent, like, I actually think a lot of this stuff online is unhelpful, because I've certainly got into a bit of a funk before where I've been doing, like, no contact, because I've been doing it to, because I think they're going to eventually message, which I know, like, sometimes they do, but my point is, if you kind of do no contact and you're doing it because you want them to message you or to get back in touch or to, you know, to send that kind of, you know, how are you doing kind of text, it's just not what, like, it's not effective. You really need to, like, it's taken me longer to get over someone, because I've been holding on to this mm-hmm. idea that the longer I don't talk to them, like, the more they'll come back and stuff. And you really need to kind of, like, you know, accept that there's nothing that you can do to get them to change their mind. And if that happens, it's really outside of your control.
I know, it's so painful though, because if you are an Aries like me, you are a control freak, and see the fact that you have to let it entirely, like, be up to someone else entirely is a proper struggle. I hate not getting what I want. I hate any feeling of rejection and criticism. Yeah. And then I also hate not being able to affect the outcome and uncertainty. So, like, yeah, anytime I've been broken up with, it's been horrendous. Although I think I've been broken up with twice out of, like, all my experiences, two times been broken up with. But what about your actual breakups themselves? Like, have you, like, in terms of when it happens, when you have the conversation, do you have any that just went, like, really strangely or horribly? Because I swear, one of my first boyfriend, the first time I tried to break up with him, we were quite young. It was, like, 16, 17. I met him outside in, like, a park, right? And it feels like so, like, a movie. I met him in a park, we're on the swings. And he fainted. He fucking fainted on, like, the pavement.
What?
And, like, he was so vindictive a little bit if he thought he was faking. So I'm like...
Sounds like he was. Were you breaking up with him?
Like, I honestly was standing over him and I was like, haha, this is fucking hilarious. Like, not going to change my mind. Like, I'm sorry, I'm done with this. And, like, he just seemed out cold. And then kind of came to, and he'd, like, smashed his phone screen and stuff because he landed on it. And even now, I'm like, I can't believe this happened. I really can't.
What? Was it, like, low blood sugar or...?
I think he was just, like, absolutely crazy.
Wow.
And but one little bit of me was like, wow, like, not sure I'm ever going to have such a strong reaction to breaking up with someone that they actually fell down and fainted.
Yeah, that's insane. So were you breaking up with him?
Yeah, like, I was breaking up with him.
So he was, like, shock?
Like, I mean, yeah, because I'm so great. No, I don't know what it was, but, I broke up with him and he fainted, like, outside on the pavement in concrete.
Damn.
Yeah, no one was around either, so I was like, thank God he didn't, you know, die.
That's mad. I don't think I've actually had any breakups. I don't know, I've had one breakup in person, but the others have been on text. But one of the I've been given the opportunity sometimes. But see, my thing is that, like, I will never let someone break up with me face to face and see me in that state. And that's because this is like one of my learnings I've had. I still stand by. So there's been like only a couple of occasions when two occasions when I've broken up with someone, and then when you're breaking up with someone, like there's probably like two voices in your head, like, you know, they still see the good parts, and then you're like, no, the bad parts, and it's kind of, but there's still like, you're probably not 100% sure.
Yeah, and when you see someone upset, you can easily be like, oh shit, I feel really guilty, let's just stay with it.
Okay, it's funny you say that, because my point was the opposite. Like, okay, when I've been like unsure, and then I see someone like crying and hasn't like slept and like, or eaten in like 2 days, and I'm like, no, nail in the coffin, this is done.
Like, I swear, this is on the back of like you getting the ick. I've never met anyone so easily put off a person in my life.
I know. Well, yeah, so I just imagine everyone's like me, so I'm like, there's no, I'm obviously inconsolable, and I'm like, I'm not letting them see me like this. Like, that's just gonna make it, if I have any chance of getting this person back, then that's just not gonna work out for me. So I'm like, no. You can remember me how I was when I was happy.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to, I think, yeah, after that one, I broke up with someone via phone, and that was when I just didn't care. I was like, yeah, I'm done. And then I think the next one I was broken up with, there's one in between there that I don't even remember the breakup, and I'm really sorry to that guy, because I obviously didn't care remotely, but like, I don't even remember how that ended. And then one, the guy, he gave me a letter. Like, the next guy literally gave me a letter and stood while I read it. And I was like, what the fuck? Just like, exceptionally emotional. And we lived together. So it was just a altogether strange, like, dynamic, that one, at the time.
Letters are so often involved in breakups.
They really are. And I think it's because people don't have the balls to, like, say and articulate themselves exactly what they want to say to your face.
I think it's, like, more romantic. And they're like, the last thing I say to you will be etched on this paper.
But equally, I'm like, strange, though, because I wouldn't expect you to stand there while I read it. Like, yeah. I feel like it's one of those put it down and walk away things.
Like, I can't stand the dramatics in breakups as well. No. Like, I was talking about this with my flatmate the other night, and because anyway, I'll get onto it. Okay, so I hate the dramatics in breakups. You know, when people use like really formal language and they're like, okay, good luck, or
all the best,
have a nice life, or take care. I'm like, oh, fuck off. Like, it just annoys me. Like, I'll definitely, like, the chances are you're probably gonna speak to this person again.
Yeah.
Like, they're probably still gonna be in your kind of like satellite kind of system. Like, it's just, oh, it annoys me. And like, I make a habit, like, if they're ever having that conversation, I never say something like that. I'm always just kind of like, okay, see you about, okay, have a good day. Like, I can't deal with the, like, thank you for the memories. I'm like, oh my god.
Whereas I swear I've probably been that person, like, when I was younger, I was very dramatic. Very,
yeah. I've made the mistakes as well. That's why I think I sent someone like a Harry Potter quote, like, or something. I don't know. I can't remember. Like,
who knew you were even a Harry Potter fan?
Yeah, I don't know. I just really wanted to go out with a bang. Like, this is now, basically, I'm cringing at my past self, and that's why I like cannot abide other people doing it.
Oh, no.
But yeah,
it's not. No, it's one of the worst things ever, and I think I dread the next one. Although I'm not sure how I would like react. Do you not think you just become a lot more passive as you get older? Like, obviously I haven't been in a full-on relationship for quite a while now, but I find if I've gone on dates and like either one of us is sort of saying, yeah, sorry, like, you're just not for me, in the nicest way, when I first started dating post all my relationships, I took it so personally. Like, I was so upset by it, and I was like, oh my god, what's wrong with me? Like, why don't they like me? I'm great. And then now I'm just like, oh yeah, fine, bye. Like, I couldn't care less.
I don't know. Yeah, I can't agree. Like, I don't think I'm that passive about it. It still annoys me.
In fairness, I've never met anyone with your... it's funny because you're not like this across everything, but I've never met anyone who, from a dating perspective, is so self-assured in like a really great way, in the sense of, I wish I had an ounce of that. Like, someone doesn't reply to you and you're like, oh, he must have died.
and you actually mean it. This is a funny story. I'll recount it. So essentially, I was been kind of dating a fighter jet pilot. She did the second one. I was like young, and he was on tour, and we've been messaging because you can actually message quite easily when you're in these locations, as long as they don't tell you where they are. Anyway, and then and WhatsApp's encrypted and all that shit. Anyway, and then he hadn't messaged me for like 5 days. And I went through the whole kind of like the grief process of like anger, and I was like, oh my god, I've been fucking rejected. And I was like looking at myself in the mirror, brushing my teeth, like, ugly. and then I was lying in my bed, like, you know, like weeping. And then I was like, wait a minute, he's in like a place of war. He's probably dead. And then I just like, you know, went to bed soundly. And then I kind of like started to move on, and then I got a message from him. And then he was like, hey, and I was like, oh, and then I told him like my thought process, and he was like, he didn't see the funny side, and then yeah, I mean, I'm mentally unstable, let's be honest.
That's okay. Clearly, his humor is not up to par.
Yeah. Anyway,
but then it's like this hasn't actually changed massively, because with both of our recent breakups, we both had periods of time where we were like, what if they've died? Yeah. And that's why they've not contacted us.
I know, it's just like the brain likes complete stories, and like feel like
it's so
that's,
true.
That's at times when you're having that god complex mm-hmm. moment, you're like, that seems like the most appropriate way to finish that story.
It does. And then it's like really quite almost disappointing in a way, because like weeks and weeks later I actually drove past this guy on the street, and I was like, oh he's even in the same city and he just didn't message me. That seems way less satisfying than, like, you know, not that I want him to die, but still I was like, well, that's a really good excuse. This is less so. He's totally fine.
Have you ever had an occasion where you have like regretted breaking up with someone, or vice versa, have you had someone coming back from you know, the dead? Because like, yeah, they do say they always come back.
I have like people I don't want to come back that come back like almost often, so I don't think I've never regretted breaking up with anyone that I've broken up with. I mean, there's plenty of times I haven't wanted to be broken up with, or I've been rejected like on dates that I didn't want to be rejected by those people, because I was interested. But in terms of like my exes coming back around, like, are two of them quite bad for it? And it's interesting because one of them was like one of my longer term. I'm going to have to try and keep this as anonymous as I can because his girlfriend fucking hates me. So that'll actually give it away in itself. whenever they have an on-off again relationship, and whenever they break up, he slides into my DMs without fail. And I'm really not interested, so I don't feel anything for him at all. But I don't know if it's like he doesn't do well on his own, or like gets lonely or whatever, but like you can guarantee he pops up. And that's been ongoing for years now. And like, we broke up when I was 22, maybe. So that's like 7 years. And then another one came back around. Apparently he was my ex-boyfriend. I wouldn't have said we ever got to that stage, but, you know, whatever. And we had like a bit of a friends with benefits thing going for a while. But he kind of annoys me now, like 10 years later.
Yeah,
so I think it kind of, I don't know, it's interesting, like, no one's ever come back around that I've wanted to come back around.
Yeah, not in the same capacity,
absolutely not. And I bet that's the universe's like just way of being, where it's the people you don't want that do resurface, and the one guy you do doesn't.
yeah
100%. What about you?
People who I have dumped have never come back round. The people who have finished with me mostly have kind of, you know, come round years later. But always, as you say, when you, there was no way that you would be kind of either geographically or mentally, physically in any way wanting that again, which is, yeah, always the way.
It's funny how like off-put you can be with someone that you used to either love or be really into, but they borderline like make you feel sick. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Years down the line,
once those pheromones have gone, you're like, yeah. Oh, shit.
Also, like, I would say that the vast majority of my exes have like glowed down. Like they've not yeah, I definitely had them in more of a peak moment. And I'm not just being like picking myself up in any way there. I mean it. Like they've, because we're like in our, well, pretty much 30 now, like a lot of them have either like, you know, gained quite a bit of weight, like they've filled out, they've like gotten quite like homeless looking. And yeah, I definitely had them in their better moments.
Yeah, I guess you with men, they tend to kind of like develop later, like their metabolism slows down later, mm-hmm. and all these things that we as girls have to kind of deal with the minute we get to 18.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to kind of crop up with them later in life, and then they don't really have the, by that time their kind of routines and lifestyles are sort of embedded, so these kind of, you know, I think they can lose it quite quickly, whereas it's not so much the case with women, I don't think, but biased, I guess. I'm team women.
Yeah, I know, me too. All the girls are definitely better.
Yeah,
more mentally unstable but better.
Yeah.
No, for so sure.
What about kind of like, as we said, we both went through a breakup of sorts over lockdown. Ugh. What sort of advice would you give to someone? I mean, just breakup advice anyway, but you know, with the lockdown slant, I guess.
I have a well-established process now for breakups. Like I fully get that I wallow. I definitely wallow for like, oh, maybe like, I don't know, 5 days to a week in almost every scenario here before I can even like entertain the idea of like going out, meeting friends, like trying to do anything else to take my mind off it. So now I like let myself have that period, and then I kind of launch myself into keeping myself as busy as possible. And it just helps. Like I don't try to like get on the apps. I don't try to message anyone else. I kind of just let myself feel it. Whereas I know some people's like first reaction is to like jump on like Tinder, Bumble, whatever, just because they want someone else to message. And that's not, if that works for you, that's fine. But I always thought I was able to move on faster if I just let myself go through the full thing like then and there. And
yeah, that's really healthy advice.
Like don't rebound ASAP. And then just keeping as busy as I can. Like I try and make plans for like my weekends, definitely weekends, like fill up Saturday, Sunday, because that's when you have like too much time to sit and think about it and get quite sad at the fact that you're alone. And kind of throw yourself into work. But yeah, and then again, 100% remove them from everything. Like I do not keep people on social. Like it's too tempting to stalk them, and like then it's so annoying. Like you almost go through another breakup when you eventually see they've got another girlfriend or whatever else. So like I remove them on everything.
Yeah, that's definitely the way to go. Like, and doing it as soon as possible, I think, mm-hmm. as well, is something that I've learned. Like, because even like, even if you're not like looking at what they're doing, I still feel like I'm performing in some way with every post, mm-hmm. and to like prove to them that I'm doing fine. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, that's not healthy either. Like,
yeah, really, like in your stories and stuff, like living your best life sort of
yeah.
thing.
I know, yeah. Especially in lockdown, because we're not doing anything. People are mm-hmm. on their phones constantly. Like that's basically your life. So certainly, yeah, being able to just cut it off as quick as possible is like definitely a big learning.
Mm-hmm. But those are like my two biggest things. Like definitely like make plans, be good at making plans for yourself. And yeah, just remove everything that you know you would find hurtful. Like, just take it out of your path. It's hard to do because you feel like you're letting go and you really don't want to. Like, you want to still have that little connection with them, whether it's, like, friends on Instagram or whatever, but it is just so much better for you to not see it. Is that, like, what you don't know doesn't hurt you thing? And this is one of those instances where that's totally true.
And you're always like, you don't want to hurt them. And it's like, you're like...
It seems
ridiculous that someone who is, you know, pretty much led you down the garden path.
Yeah, like
I don't
who
know.
Cares? If you
yeah, and then
them.
You're like, oh, I don't want to hurt their feelings. I need them on your social media.
I know, and actually, girls are too guilty of that. We're like, oh my god, don't hurt their feelings. Fuck it, they hurt your feelings. Like, yeah. Honestly, like, don't even care about it. My stepdad is actually ruthless with this stuff. When he talks about like any of my exes or that, he's like, I don't fucking care. Like, you shouldn't care about them. Like, they don't exist to you. They're irrelevant. Like, patch them. Like, be done. I'm like, oh, wow. Like, he's
that's
not messing.
Advice.
I'm like, so supportive.
That's very good advice.
Even people he's met and spent a lot of time with and stuff, he's like, no, fuck them. I'm like, okay, yes.
Yeah, I don't have like the best genetics. I will obviously use your stepdad, but like I remember my mum saying that when she was younger, she likes, in her words, like semi-stalked someone. I was like, oh god, this is where it comes from.
Oh god.
Anyway,
oh, no.
Like yeah, I feel like I react so badly to breakups, like really viscerally, really really bad,
and yeah, it's definitely. Actually.
Yeah, and it's definitely obviously comes from another, you know, I don't know, something else that probably needs to be hashed out with a therapist over a number of years. But like I really really don't like it's like it was yeah particularly bad like more recent ones, and the, like I had a breakup about like 5 years ago, and another one kind of last year that was really bad. But yeah, just like I remember kind of waking up every morning and like feeling like my body had just emptied of blood, and I was just like a total carcass. Like honestly, that's how I described it. Like I was just, because then I relived it like every morning, because I'd forget that it would happen. Mm-hmm. It had happened, and like honestly, that's an extreme reaction. Like you'd listen to my adjective there. Like it's like someone's fucking died. Like
I'm just
like,
a carcass.
Like your Hinge match. Like your fucking casual like London Hinge match has called it a day, and you're like. In the depths of depression. Anyway, I think that perhaps is why I'm getting like, I do maybe get the ick. I'm like, you know, trying to.
Oh, do you think you're avoidant?
Stop something happening. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we need to bring up attachment styles on them.
Yeah, I mean, we can do that. We can do that properly, like yeah, on an episode. Yeah. But I'm like, think, maybe that is the point of your ick. You're just like very much like, let's find any reason to not do this.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm fearful avoidant, which is actually Dear listener, we'll talk about attachment styles, which is like psychology.
In another
episode.
We have a
professional who's going to chime in on that. But yeah. But basically, there's like four different kind of attachment styles mm-hmm. you can have. And one of them is called fearful avoidant. And actually, it's really rare. They said it's like 5% of people have
it. Of course.
And actually, it can be confused with borderline personality disorder. And I was like, oh my god, it's me.
I bet like you found it as a weird achievement though. We're like, I'm so rare.
Yeah. No, like seriously. And I was like, oh, you're going to be anything. Be extra. Anyway,
I don't remember what mine was. I did the quiz and I don't remember it. I think mine is
I think you were secure, but you had a few.
Anxiety issues around the start of relationships. They really bother me. Like I hate the whole first phase. Yeah. Of like no one knows where they stand. Everyone's like cards to their chest. Like I really panic in that first. While until I get like a bit more comfortable, yeah. I like having answers and again clarity. I'm yeah. like, the fuck is this?
Get and it? Everyone's trying to be cool, and like one wrong move, and it's like fucked, basically.
Yeah,
especially if you're getting me, the audacity to arrive.
Yeah, like, just literally like
backpack.
Yeah, eat that bit of food wrong, you're done.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I know. Mm-hmm. I got put off by when someone like. I came up with like a list basically of everything that's given me the ick recently, and it was just absolutely fucking ridiculous. Like there's no wonder why I'm single. Like next time I'm at a family affair, my granny asks me why I've not got a boyfriend, instead of like, oh, I don't know, I'm just gonna show her the list, and she's like, okay, now I see.
Which is honestly hilarious, like because you like I read your list and it is extensive, and like some of it is very forgivable, but I was at a family dinner. Like maybe what last October? No, it wasn't last October. So we're still in pandemic. It would have been the one before that. Fuck, that was a long time. And I was sitting next to one of my relatives and her boyfriend. And I mean, I just want to put into context here: they are each other's first ever relationship, and like 7 years later, they are still together, going strong, in love, happy. So, one, I feel like they just don't have like the position to be able to comment on this, but. Because I was like, I would have been 28 then and single. They were like, maybe you're just too fussy. And they based that solely on the fact I said I would like him to be over 5'10". And what else? I don't even remember what it was. Like, I guess relatively like driven in terms of person and stuff. They're like, maybe you're just being too picky. And I'm like,
I mean, that's what
are you actually
feels.
Serious? I'm like, literally, you're talking about just like feet and inches. I'm entitled to want someone a certain height. I'm not saying I wouldn't move if some like amazing person came along and they were 5'9", but I'm just like too picky. You should see some of my friends' requirements.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, that's not like, picky at all, I wouldn't say. But
yeah,
then again,
I was so offended. so offended. I was like, I'm not lowering my standards, guys.
Yeah, damn, damn, damn.
I know.
So, yeah, so we've talked about kind of what we'd advise, you know, people to do, kind of, they were kind of a breakup situation over lockdown, and yours was they have to kind of go through it. And to...
Well, in lockdown, you have no choice because you can't distract yourself. So, like, in any other scenario, I would make myself, yeah, as busy as humanly possible. In lockdown, in fairness, I did start a business to try to make myself as busy as possible. And, like, I moved jobs and stuff. But largely, like, we're so stuck in the house. I think this one has stuck with me so much longer because you can't move forward. So, like, you can't even really... find someone new and date and get out your system, meaning you're always looking back the way, and that's like your last point of reference. And I think we talked about this because you struggled with this too, and it's like you, I think you miss it a lot more because you're just home alone all the time.
Yeah And I think as well, your point about meeting other people, I don't believe in the getting over someone by getting Mm-mm. under someone. Mm-mm. But I do believe I was listening to a webinar podcast thing yesterday with two psychologists. It wasn't about breakups, but they were just talking about like relationships and stuff more widely, and they were saying that you heal a relationship, you can only really heal the trauma from relationships through another relationship. And yeah, they were basically talking about therapy there, your relationship with your therapist. But I do think that actually when I was kind of thinking about it that way, and it is true that like actually I've got over breakups and stuff, but it's not until I've actually fell in love with someone else that I've really fully shifted that into.
Yeah, we're like, about
you. Yeah,
they don't creep into your head anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I think that point is not till you're with someone else that you stop having just like the odd stray thought about them. But yeah, definitely. Are you like, do you still look up, this is like a bit of a segue, but I want some validation. Do you still on the really like odd occasion like look up your exes to see what's happening? And I almost want, it sounds really bad, but I almost want to do it to see if they're doing badly in a way.
I mean, yeah.
I'm like, oh great, he got quite like fat, or like I'm not loving his life now. And it makes me feel a little bit better that I'm not missing out, although on the flip side I would hate to see that the other way around. And in fairness, I want to just disclosure here, I'm fully over all these people, so this is not me hanging on and like I'm pining for them. It's more
so if
just
you're my
like
ex, you listen to this, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I'm like, however, it's just years later and like everyone's a little bit curious, you know.
Yeah, I have actually read an article on this, and they were saying that it's not actually that as damaging as you think, like looking at your ex and stuff on social media. Mm-hmm. It's like, and that can be a natural curiosity. I think they said to really look at the reasons why you're doing it, like if it is a habit, or if it is just out of curiosity, like if you're not going to be, you know,
bothered by it,
by anything you see, yes, then like, you know, whatever. I mean, if that's how you want to spend 5 seconds of your day,
yeah,
do it. But if it is actually causing you harm, then that's when it's like a problem.
No, I equate it to like, you know, when you randomly look up someone you went to school with that you haven't spoken to in 10 years.
Yeah,
it's like that kind of thing. But I don't know.
To an extent, has perhaps saved me from like, see, if I didn't have like access to see what like a lot of people who I've dated are up to, then I maybe would have messaged them like at some point, like during my many lows of life. But because I know that I can still see they're clearly an idiot, or yeah, I can see that they're married with a kid, like I don't do that. So it's kind of, you know, saves me in that way too.
Oh God, I know. So do you think, I mean, would you actually do anything differently now? So say like you were breaking up with someone, or someone broke up with you tomorrow. Do you think you'd actually change anything now? Or have you learned all your lessons? You've figured it out?
I do think that I've pretty much perfected the process. It fucking hurts.
It does. That's unavoidable.
And it's, and what's annoying about the process is I'm not actually going through it. We talked about how you need to go through it. You need to go through things. But yeah, I'm not going psycho. I'm like, I'm not doing it anymore. And, you know, I don't know. But like, I think my process is like, first of all, if someone's coming to you to say they want to break up with you, like they've put a lot of thought into this, and you might not like agree with it, but you can't try and like
talk they've them decided
out of it. Like that's their, you know, they're an intelligent person, and that's the decision they've made. And it's really just to kind of like not fucking lose your shit and just you listen to that, like make space for that and accept it. But then one thing that I do think is if you don't actually agree with it and you really don't want this person to leave, one thing that I do feel is that, like, I do personally feel that people kind of break up without having discussing problems or even trying to fix them. And I've certainly, anytime I've broken up with someone, looking back, it would have been more helpful to talk about the problems and give them a chance, and vice versa. I've never done that. I think that people do these days. But I think that if you really don't want it to happen, I think, like, for your own sanity, it's a good thing to say, like, you know, is this anything to do with, like, bits about me that potentially I might want to change? Because there are bits about myself, my behaviors and attitudes, I don't particularly like either, and I'm, like, always trying to evolve and learn. If there's anything that I can actually actively work on, and I might want to work on myself, can you let me know? Because, you know, perhaps that's something I want to work on myself anyway. Do I mean,
that's kind of mature thought, though, and I feel like that's even something that should just be in relationships. Yeah. Even when you're not breaking up, I think it should be a thing to be like, look, you're adults making a conscious choice to be together, and, like, it should kind of be an open communication channel of, like, this is really bothering me, can we work on this? Not in the way of you're fully changing a person, but if there's, like, slight behaviors, like, I think to openly talk about them, you kind of avoid that resentful thing where you just end up being really annoyed at someone all the time.
Yeah, and I think everyone deserves a chance, like, to even hear what they are in advance of, like, the breakup, to kind of think about, not that they'd want to do that for any other person, but if it's something about themselves that annoys themselves about themselves too, then I think it's like, yeah, and that can, saying that, I think, can give you, like, an amount of peace walking away knowing that, like, you gave them the opportunity to say that you'd be willing to work on something if you agreed, and yeah, then saying no, like, it means that, well, you literally, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, and actually, like,
peace of mind.
The same, a really similar note, like, along those lines, is, I think, as well, if you're being, it's difficult, but, like, if you're being broken up with, and you don't want to be, I think it's really difficult to be really honest and transparent, but I do think it's important to say exactly how you're feeling and get off your chest the things that you want to say, so that you are not then holding on to them for months, being like, I wish I said that, I should have said this, I should have, like, you know, made my position obvious. Because I would say that my last sort of situation where we were seeing each other, and I, for, like, probably one time in my life, like, did not hold back how I felt when that was ending. I was like, I need to be really clear about this, I don't want this to end, I'm not, like, agreeing with this. Fair enough, it is ending because it's what you want, but, like, I made my feelings very clear. So I was like, there's no doubt in his mind where I'm standing, and then if he still makes that decision, that's fully on him, but I can walk away being like, well, I know that there was literally nothing I could say in that scenario, I put it all on the table. And then it hurts to get rejected, but still, I've not gone back in my mind being like, I really should have said that, I wish I'd told him how I felt about that.
Yeah, I think it works in both ways, because you can, anytime, like, you're, you know, drunkenly or just missing them, and you go to send that text, you know that you said, yeah, those words to him, and you saw that they were understood, like, and you know that, like, those lines of communication are still open, like, you, like, you know, I don't recommend blocking them on everything, like, so you know that those they're open, and there's just, like, it's up to them. And also, I think it paints you in, like, a really good light as well, like, if there is a chance, like, you know, of them kind of ever thinking, you know, I think thinking that they made the wrong decision, like, you acting like that on the way out is, like, gonna help things.
But yes, oh, we just sound like everybody breaks up with us, don't we?
I mean, yeah, been through it. I've got another question. Is there any kind of, like, age-old adages or advice or whatever that you think is not helpful in when you're trying to navigate a breakup?
I saw this the other day and it cracked me up, because actually now it's such a good fucking point. There's plenty of fish in the sea riles me beyond belief.
Want that fish.
Yes, I hate that saying. I'm like, yeah, doesn't mean all fish in the sea are equal. They're not equal. Like, some are fish are shit. And someone on TikTok, I think this must have, like, been a video after a video that you sent me a link to, because I don't have TikTok, full disclosure, but it was someone saying, oh, there's plenty more fish in the sea. And then it was something like, there's also, like, trash in the sea. The fish are eating trash. Like, basically, it was a whole workaround. And I was just like, actually, that's totally true. Because there's loads of fish in the sea doesn't mean you fucking want those fish. Those fish are shit. And, like, it just is everyone's weird comforting thing. But normally, it's people in relationships that tell you this.
Yeah, just, always.
I'm like, oh, the right guy will come along. Actually, you don't know that because proportion-wise and stat-wise, there are women who the right guy never comes along and they actually remain single. And maybe they meet someone when they're like 50. So I'm like, just shut up. Stop trying to dispense advice when you're like in your fucking like little settled down situation. Yeah, those two things really annoy me. Unsolicited advice from relationship people, and there's plenty more fish in the sea.
Yeah.
No.
I know, I agree with that one. And one that kind of ticks me off, and that it's really popular, so I don't know, well, I'll explain why, but when they're like, oh, he just wasn't your person, that kind of annoys me, because I'm like, well, first of all, like, I don't want to think that there's only one person for me out there, like, that the odds of me finding them are quite low.
Also, the odds of that even being a thing is so low. Like, I do not believe in the one soulmate for everyone. That's bullshit.
Yeah. And also, I just don't like, I don't like these sayings because they don't really hold space for your pain. Do you know what I mean? It's not helpful. Like, if someone goes to you with a problem, about an emotional problem, which a lot of the time that's why we go to our friends and family for advice. It's not often like a logical problem. And then they come back to you with like either like instructions, or like, yeah, a saying like that that just doesn't really, it doesn't, I don't know, like, you really need to just be like, I'm so sorry, that's so shit, you must feel really crap, like, that's kind of the only kind of advice you can really do, is kind of like hold space for them and be like, I appreciate, and I'm, you know, I and how empathize and stuff. So yeah, I guess that's another reason I don't like any of these sayings, but yeah, they just all just anger me, they don't help me when I'm in that place.
Yeah, I think people say these things because they are trying to be optimistic, but it's actually almost just like people are uncomfortable just acknowledging the reality, so they just spout out like one of these things. My mum's favorite to this day is like, what's for you won't go past you, and she literally applies it to anything.
Yeah,
like, you get rejected from a job, that comes out. If you get dumped, that comes out. Like, any scenario, she's like, well, what's for you won't go by you, and I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yes, it's funny, a slight tangent, but just quickly on jobs. It's something I've been thinking about this week, because I kind of in my career, there was like an opportunity that I didn't end up getting, and it was kind of like a bit like a rejection, really. And it was annoying because it was it was something that I felt was a really good fit, and it was basically like a kind of a mirror of like of kind of getting dumped when you really like the other person and you're like, no wait, do you know what I mean? And I was just thinking about like how I've reacted to that compared to a breakup, and I was just thinking, I was like, are there people out there who react how I'm reacting to this job situation to relationships? Because if so, like, my life would be a lot easier. It's just kind of like, yeah, you're disappointed and you're sad, but you know you're still changing it and you're kind of moving on. Whereas like, as I said, when it happens with a guy in a romantic kind of thing, it's like the world has fucking ended, and it's like piecing yourself back together piece by piece. It's funny how you change the person who is change the thing that's rejecting you, and suddenly it really hits those like core wounds and all that.
I think because it's almost so much more personal. Like, see, I think it's because you're like so much more vulnerable with a person that you like. In the sense of, at least from a job, I think you can really segregate it to like your, you know, you've just answered a few questions wrong, and even like you can finish an interview and know yourself, oh, I fucked that question, or like my presentation was, you know, shit. Whereas something I think about like a person rejecting you that you have real feelings for, it's like they're rejecting your entire self, and you're just like, oh God, what's happened?
Yeah,
it's like a lot more deep rooted.
I think it's also helpful. I read this book recently by this guy called Alain de Botton.
Nice pronunciation.
I ain't French. But he's like some, like, you know, a very famous commentator on psychology, and, you know, and he has this thing called The School of Life, and he wrote this book called Emotional Intelligence. I'd really, really recommend it. I'm going to reread it like every year. But basically, the book is kind of just explaining our emotional reactions, and it provides more context than you know, we would ever, than lots of people kind of would have had. And there's a whole chapter on it about relationships, and he does say that like the antidote, the cure for unrequited love, or that kind of that pining you have, is actually knowing the other person better, because nobody is perfect. Everybody has good points and bad points. And this, like, the people that you're absolutely fucking devastated over, like, the answer to your pain would in an ideal situation would be, you know, shadowing them all day, like, all the time. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like,
is that like to find out what's wrong with them kind of thing?
Basically, yeah, because like,
there like is, find out their cause.
Yeah, there is kind of like something wrong with everyone, and that he kind of like he kind of paints relationships in a really kind of realistic light. Like, you know, we're kind of always like, you know, watching, you know, grow up in Disney movies, and everyone around us kind of has that kind of archetype of being in a relationship and having married and kids is the perfect thing. But he really kind of like blows a lid on that and kind of exposes everything kind of for what it really is. And that, you know, no relationships are perfect, and if anything, they kind of they're valuable in that they can provide a mirror to yourself to kind of to understand, to make you notice more things about yourself that might need an improvement, and also to kind of to offer like a safe, supportive foundation for you to kind of have, so you can go out into the real world and have that kind of base. But other than that, he was like, you know, there's loads of negatives. So I found that like a really enlightening read, and something that I will hopefully try to bear in mind in the future.
Yeah, that's interesting about the whole mirror thing as well, because I feel like that maybe explains, you know, how you date this guy when you're 17, and then 5 years later you're in another relationship with another guy, but they're so vastly different, and then another 5 years later you're with a guy that again is so vastly different. So it's obviously like you've not got a type, but I wonder if the difference there is like the mirror and the way you've changed, so then like your partner is totally different, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because yeah, anyone I've dated, yeah, types
of guys, I think
definitely, because like 100% mine have all been so like opposite. Well, not necessarily, but yeah, they've changed massively.
Yeah.
It seems in a healthier way, which is nice, reassuring. But you know, obviously none have stuck. But yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that is a slight positive.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Great. So shall we kind of wrap this up? I did have one other kind of piece of advice that I'd taken from this guy called, he has a podcast called The Love Drive. His name's like Sean Galeopas. I can't go
last name. Again, you're really nailing these last names.
He basically like, gives them relationship advice. And there was just one that's definitely stuck in my mind. There was someone who'd messaged him and saying, you know, I've gone through this like kind of breakup during lockdown, blah, blah, blah. How do I get through it? And he replied just with three words. Anyway, you... Oh, fuck, that's four words. Anyway you can. Like, anyway you can. You just have to get through it. There's only two ways you can go, forward or you can go under, and you have to go forward. So you have to get through it any way you can. That's my main advice for people.
Yeah, that's so true, actually. Like, no judgment. If you want to, like, eat your body weight in food, or you want to, like, run a marathon or, like, do whatever, I feel like just... anything that works.
Yeah.
And like there's no real, actually no, there probably is a wrong way, but still.
Yeah.
I feel like no judgment.
And if you can, just try to keep your dignity. If you can. If not.
If you can, no, because hurts. Honestly, when you're then 30, you really regret the times you did it.
Yeah.
My most embarrassing stories, hands down, are my breakup behaviour.
Yep, no, 100%. Okay, guys, I hope you found that helpful in some way.
Yeah, although I wouldn't be surprised if not at all. But yes, I hope it gives you a little bit of comfort that we're all in the same boat where this is concerned.
Yeah, I know. And if any of you are going through breakdowns, yeah, or breakups over lockdown, then I don't know. What am I fucking saying? I mean, it's turned into like an advice podcast. What the fuck?
I know, and we're also the least qualified people to give advice.
We're not qualified.
No, we're not. But also, like, a little shout out, if you also hate Geminis, we are with you.
Yay! Death of Geminis.
That's a takeaway from this episode.
Okay, right. See you later, guys.
Okay, bye.
Why did I say see you later?
Yeah, we might have to work on our endings.
Yeah, that's really bad. That's really bad. I might not even include that. Also, say death to Geminis. Like, what if my fucking ex hears that? And I'm like, what if he dies, like, in unsuspicious circumstances? And they're, like, looking for evidence. Like, well, it kind of looks like her ex called for his death.
To be fair, there's nothing to stop us doing another ending if you want to do another ending.
I don't, I'll maybe listen to it.
No, but it's like Trump, where he's like Proud Boys, like stand back and stand by. It's like us being like fucking death to Gemini's guys, organize yourselves.
I know. What the fuck?